Welcome to one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts out there in podcast land. Yes, you are now tuned into the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me on this week's show. Now, this week's show is going to be kind of a special show to the point that we just celebrated the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion of Normandy. The invasion that turned the tide of World War II and essentially spread freedom throughout the world. I want to play for you, and some of you may have heard this, some of you may not have, but I want to play for you the original 1944 broadcast from NBC, the confirmation that the Allies were assaulting Normandy on D-Day. I want to play that for you, and the reason I want to do that is because I think history should not die. I want the younger generation to realize what our generation, the greatest generation that this country has ever known, other than the generation maybe that brought this country into fruition, but the greatest generation, the generation of World War II veterans, they are slowly, actually not even slowly now, they are quickly dying off. They predict that by the year 2021, there's only going to be 35,000 World War II veterans alive in this country. That's scary. That means there are only 35,000 people in this country of millions and millions of people that can relate their story and tell their story to the next generation so that next generation knows what they did to bring this country to where we are today, the greatest country in the world. I want to play for you the audio of the confirmation of that invasion. Because to me, I love history. And it's very historical, but it means a lot. Because I can, in my head, I can just picture as this gentleman is talking. And trust me, in the 40s, the radio announcers, the radio broadcasters, they had a different voice. They had a voice that was almost, I don't even know how you say it. You could trust that voice. It wasn't a, hey, everybody, this is Tom Velasquez on WKQZ Radio. It wasn't that voice. It was somebody just talking, and they had a different dialect, a different accent, a different inflection on their tone when they talked. It was a very innocent time in a way. And I love listening to old radio broadcasts because everybody sounded kind of the same, but in a way they didn't. So I want to play that for you. And then as I promised on last week's show, if you have a pet, dog, cat, bird, ferret, gerbil, I don't even care if it's a fish, you need to listen to this episode of the Paranormal Patriot because your pets may be telling you something. And if you own cats, by all means, you need to listen to this show because there is something I'm going to tell you about cats that is very supernatural, very paranormal, and very uplifting. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the fact that, you know, UFOs, the Pentagon has been saying, yes, we have been investigating UFOs. We've been essentially lying to you, but we've been doing it. So now we need
to realize, and we need to acclimate ourselves to the fact that UFOs are real. So to some people, that's going to be a very, very hard-hitting blow. For those of us who kind of knew it all along, it's ho-hum. Yeah, okay, thank you for acknowledging and confirming something I've known for years and years and years. But we need to really start realizing that this is it. This is the beginning of the disclosure process. So how do we deal with it? I'll talk about that. So before I start the show, as I always do, I want to start with the comment of the week, because last week's show definitely just blew the lid off of comments. I had a listener say, you know what, this is why we need small government. And I commented to her, I said, you know, you're right. I can't believe the amount of emails I have received this week. And they're really 50-50. 50% of them saying, Tom, you're absolutely right. We don't own anything and it's ridiculous. And then 50% of them saying, Tom, you're an absolute idiot. You are an old cantankerous bastard who needs to relax. They're just digging up your lawn to better your neighborhood. So I've got a certain letter that hit home, and it's a negative letter towards me. I will admit that. But it kind of echoed what everybody that was against what I was saying said. And then, because it was really evenly split, I'm going to quickly tell you about a letter, or an email that somebody who agreed with me had. And that'll be the comment of the week. And then we're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back, and I will play for you the original June 6th, 1944 broadcast from NBC News on the confirmation of the beginning of D-Day. If you are in love with history, or if you are even remotely interested in history, you need to listen to this broadcast. So let's start with the comment of the week. The comment of the week. First off, the negative one. This is from Ron in Minnesota. Ron in Minnesota says, Tom, I came across your show and I am less of a man for it. Now, let me begin by saying, ow, really? Let's just ease into this, Ron. Don't just come out guns a-blazing. But he says, Tom, I'm a less of a man for it. You are sitting here behind the microphone telling everybody how horrible your city, township, wherever you live in is, because they want to tear up your lawn, quote unquote, tear up your lawn, to provide better internet service. They are bettering your neighborhood, and you have a beef with that because your precious lawn is too important for that. My question is, what gives you preferential treatment over your neighbors, where you can come out and say, I refuse to let you dig up my yard, so therefore you are now inconveniencing your neighbors? What gives you the right to do that? In my world, you do not have that right. You are infringing on your neighbors' rights. Your neighbors want that internet. By you telling the internet company that you don't want them digging in your yard, not only is it selfish, not only is it childish, not only your wife is right, the actions of a cantankerous bastard, however, it is just wrong. You're being childish, Tom. Grow up, let technology take hold. You may actually find that you need this internet provider, and oh, by the way, you have it now. Instead of fighting them all the way because you spend money on your precious lawn, just accept it. Everybody else in the neighborhood seems to be doing it. Why not you? Yours truly, who is no longer a better person, Ron from Minnesota. I'm telling you, that one hurt. When somebody says they're less of a person because they're listening to this show, ow. But you know what? In my opinion, and I'm going to stand by this, this is what I believe. Everybody asks me, how do you get behind the mic every week? Why do you get behind the mic every week and just spew what you say? And you know what? It's because this is what I believe. And I know that there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of other people out there that believe the same way, that want to hear this voice. You may not agree with me, and I don't expect everybody to agree with me. But to say you're less of a man, that's kind of going a little overboard. But hey, maybe, Ron, you were less of a man because you were not a man to begin with. I don't know. That could be harsh, and I apologize. But that's just, you know, if my words are making you less of a man, it makes me question how much of a man you were to begin with. So anyway, Ron from Minnesota, thank you for your thoughts. But you know what? I'm going to stand true to my beliefs on this. This isn't about an internet company coming in and digging up my lawn. This is about me not having any rights on the property I quote unquote own. That's what it's about. Even my wife was all over me saying, you are ripping on Daystar for them trying to better the internet or the better the neighborhood with better internet. And I said, this isn't about Daystar. I don't care if it's Daystar, Charter, Spectrum, AT&T, whoever, AOL. This is about my rights as a property owner. And then it evolves into the fact that we don't own anything. And with that in mind, Maria from Michigan echoes my sentiment. She says, Tom, you are absolutely 100% right in your determination that we don't own anything. I have my house paid off. I've had it paid off for 2 years now. But you are absolutely right. If I stop paying taxes, not only is the county going to take the land that my house is on, they take the house. So really, do we own anything? If we don't pay our insurance or have registration on our vehicles, we're not legally able to drive them. So the government essentially owns our vehicles. One thing you didn't say is that when we are born, we are assigned a social security number. It's an ID number. It is what is tracking us through our whole lives. The government owns us. Not only do they own our houses, our cars, and everything we have, but they own us lock, stock, and barrel. It is deeply disturbing how many people don't understand this and choose not to understand this, because when push comes to shove, the government owns everything. We don't own anything. We're on a rent-to-buy program that we're never going to be able to buy, because the government is always there to make money. And they will make money on us. And there are too many people out there that are just oblivious to that fact. I'm sure you've got a lot of emails saying how stupid you're being on this, but those people don't realize that when they stop paying taxes, they lose everything. Because we don't own anything. We paid for the land that our house sits on, but we never own that land. I hope a lot of your listeners were educated and had an epiphany when you talked about the fact that you don't own anything, because I kind of knew it, but now I know it for sure, because you're absolutely right. Keep up the good work, Tom. Thank you so much. Maria, Michigan, hey, you're from my home state. Of course you're going to get it. Thank you so much. And she gets it. You know, we paid, she has it absolutely right. We paid not only for the house we live on, but for the lot size, be it half an acre, an acre, 2 acres, 3 acres, 4 acres. We paid extra money to have that land. So why are we paying for it if the government owns it? And you can sit there, Ron from Minnesota, and tell me that that's not the case. Stop paying your taxes and tell me what happens, Ron. Tell me, what's the government going to do? What is the Minnesota state government going to do when you stop paying taxes? Are they going to say, okay, we need you to move your house somewhere else other than this land because this land is now ours? No, you get evicted from your house. You get evicted from every part of that property. So not only do they get their quote-unquote property back, But they have a nice little house that they can sell now. And they make money off of it. It's a racketeering scheme that we let happen on a daily, daily basis. So for all of you, and I mean all of you who inundated my email inbox with emails pro and against what I was saying last week, thank you. Keep it coming. Absolutely keep it coming. I love the pro, you're doing great, Tom, emails, but I also love the you suck, Tom, emails, you are horrible. Because I like to comment on those and say, okay, what would you like to hear? And almost 100% of the time, it is simply, I need a liberal viewpoint. And my answer to that is, well, you're listening to the wrong show, because you're not going to get a liberal viewpoint when I talk politics. It's as simple as that. I'm a conservative. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in less government. I believe that everybody in this country has the right and the ability to better themselves without government interference. You're not going to prove me otherwise, because I know what happens when the government takes control of something. They screw it up, and it's just an utter fiasco. So thank you for everybody that sent me emails. Keep it coming. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. ghostseeker4@charter.net. Contact me with comments, supernatural or paranormal encounters that you've had. Contact me with anything you have to say about the show. Like, hate, indifferent, ideas, guest ideas. At the end of the show, you need to listen, because I'm going to tell you about a huge, I guess, upgrade to the show we're doing. We're going to change things. So you need to stick around to the end of the show to hear that. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, again, you're going to hear the original NBC News broadcast of the confirmation of D-Day. It is history that is alive, and history we need to teach this younger generation. Sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, and I will be right back. September 21st and September 22nd, 2019, at the Mothman Museum in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. The 18th annual festival that celebrates the legend known only as Mothman in downtown Point Pleasant, West Virginia. There will be live music, guest speakers, special appearances and events, festival food, a TNT area tour, a Mothman statue, Mothman hayride, you'll visit the Mothman Museum, and much more. This is the Mothman Festival. So be there September 21st and 22nd in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
If life was an album that stuck on repeat, we were just in the loop, stuck in between. Feeling that needles, can feel in my heart that is feeble. It's feeling like leaving is painful, like even just seconds apart was the evilest thing. Yeah, and I'm evil Knievel. To get over love could prove to be lethal, but jumping your bones, my church and cathedral, like bodies on bodies. Yeah, bodies on bodies. Yeah, thinking that probably that love could tell in the end. Yeah, but then again,
all right.
Then
again, this is what I want again, you to do, unless you're driving. If you're driving, disregard everything I'm going to say. Keep your eyes on the road, hands at 10 and 2, don't kill anybody. But if you're in a position to, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to take a couple of deep breaths. And then I want you to imagine yourself back in 1944. 1944 did not have any television. So everything was the family around the radio. And it's 3:30 in the morning. You are sleeping. It's probably either summer vacation or very close to summer break for school. And one of your parents, either your mother or your father, shakes you and says, "Hey, come on out. Something's going on." So it's the middle of the night, and you all huddle in the living room around the radio, and your father turns it on, and it has that faint glow about it, and it slightly illuminates everything around you. And then you hear this.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC newsroom in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, we may be approaching a fateful hour. All night long, bulletins have been pouring in from Berlin claiming that D-Day is here, claiming that the invasion of Western Europe has begun. Let me read you several of the latest bulletins. One says that a report, unconfirmed by Allied sources, of course, says that heavy fighting is taking place between the Germans and invasion forces on the Normandy Peninsula, about 31 miles southwest of Le Havre. Another bulletin, also from Berlin Radio and unconfirmed, says that British-American landing operations against the western coast of Europe, from the sea and from the air, are stretching over the entire area between Cherbourg and Le Havre, a distance of about 60 miles. I repeat, there is no confirmation. And here's another bulletin just in. DNB, the German agency, says, this is unconfirmed, that the most important airdromes in the area of the Normandy Peninsula of France have been wiped out. Now, I presume that means wiped out by the Allies. As you may have heard on earlier broadcasts, all three German news agencies have begun broadcasting these stories that the invasion is here. But there is no Allied confirmation as yet. The first report came out shortly after midnight, and since then we've been flooded with reports from Berlin. Paris Radio, strangely enough, has not confirmed any of these reports. And now we have just been informed that we can expect, in a very few seconds, a very important broadcast from the British capital. And so now we take you to London.
The text of communique number one will be released to the press and radio of the United Nations in 10 seconds. Repeat, 10 seconds from now. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. The communique will be repeated. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. This ends the reading of communique number one from Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is New York, NBC Newsroom again. Men and women of the United States, this is a momentous hour in world history. This is the invasion of Hitler's Europe, the zero hour of the Second Front. The men of General Dwight Eisenhower are leaving their landing barges, fighting their way up the beaches into the fortress of Nazi Europe. They are moving in from the sea to attack the enemy under a mammoth cloud of fighter planes, under a ceiling of screaming shells from Allied warships. The first news flashes do not say, but a large proportion of this assault is believed to be in the hands of American men. They are making the attack side by side with the British Tommies who were bombed and blasted out of Europe at Dunkirk. Now, at this hour, they are bombing and blasting their way back again. This is the European front, once again being established in fire and blood, not only by the Americans and British, but by many allies in the fight against Axis aggression.
Imagine yourself in 1944. Sitting around this radio at 3:30 in the morning, You may have a brother. You may have a son. You may have a husband that is at that time storming the beach. You have no idea, listening in America, the horrors that these soldiers went through. I've talked to a couple soldiers who were there, who stormed the beach at Normandy. And they said the most realistic interpretation of what it was Saving Private Ryan. If you haven't seen that movie, I mean, honestly, the first 10 minutes of them storming the beach at Normandy is worth the price of admission alone. They said that is the most realistic interpretation of what they went through. But even that couldn't hold a candle to what it was like. They feared for their lives, but yet they kept pushing forward, going towards those Nazi bunkers with machine guns. And they did it for us. They did it for a generation that will never know what they went through. This being the 75th anniversary of D-Day, we really, truly need to thank every single one of those soldiers who braved the onslaught of German artillery, of German machine gun fire, and survived that trek, which, you know, for you and me, that would be like if you live in Michigan, going from Lake Michigan, the shoreline of Lake Michigan up to the beach house. Now picture that with rounds of machine guns just barreling at you, fighter planes overhead strafing you, artillery shelling the beach. That is what they went through. Many of them did not survive, but enough of them did to bring the war essentially to an end. Because D-Day was the invasion that broke the back of Germany. We don't give these people nearly enough credit. In the generation of World War II soldiers is rapidly disappearing. We need to honor them. We need to respect them. And more importantly, we need to learn from them. We need to keep that history alive. That is the greatest generation. That generation gave up so much for what we have today. And it is time for us as a nation to come together. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Muslim, it doesn't matter. We're Americans. We always will be. We need to look on that generation and thank them for the sacrifices that they gave. Because if it wasn't for them, who knows what this country would be like. So take a minute out of your day and thank a veteran. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Operation Desert Shield, Persian Gulf, Operation Desert Storm. Thank them. Because they are putting their lives in jeopardy for you. And there's not enough respect for our military. I, for one, if you are a member of the military or were a member of the military, my utmost thanks, praise, and humble respect go up to you. Because of you, we are the greatest nation on the face of the earth. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be
They are back for year two. Join me Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomena, and more. Also, be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and much, much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus they have added a great new batch of vendors for this year. Everyone was so pleased with the location last year that they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside, and the rooms, you'll agree, they are the best. Join me for another educational and refreshing event, Friday, September 20th, Saturday, September 21st at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Come join me for the Michigan UFO Contact 2. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Alrighty, by a show of hands, and I realize this is an audio show, so just raise your hand anyway. Amuse me. By a show of hands, how many of you listening are owners of pets? I'm going to assume at least 80% of you are. Now, did you know that your pets may help you, they may help you find paranormal activity in your home? Science has now proven what they thought was not possible. They have proven that mammals, cats, dogs, skunks, raccoons, squirrels, anything that's a mammal, they originally thought that they were not able to see in the UV spectrum. Well, after studying multiple deceased animals, they have realized that, oh yeah, these mammals can see in a frequency that humans cannot. They see in its spectrum that we can only see at, you know, if you're a ghost hunter, you know about the full spectrum camera. Animals, they look through that their whole lives. So the ghost hunters that use this full spectrum camera to catch paranormal activity, our pets see that all the time. Now, I guess I'm not proud of the fact that I have 2 dogs and 5 cats. I have a lot of cats. I love cats. Cats are great. But there are times that I will catch my pets just sitting there, and all of a sudden, whoop, their eyes are drawn to something in the room. And I can watch their eyes, and I can watch them literally follow. It'd be like me walking through the room and them following me walking through the room. But there's nobody there that I can see. Now, are they, our pets, are they seeing something that we don't?
It is a well-known, numerous documentation is available that especially dogs are susceptible to knowing when major earthquakes are going to take effect. There are numerous accounts of dogs going crazy right before an earthquake, a large earthquake, is going to happen. There's numerous cats, dogs, that it's unexplainable what they do. You know, they come in and they kind of guide you out of a room when something bad is going to happen. They guide you out of the house. They move you to a different space. And, you know, we as humans don't pick that up because they're just stupid animals, right? Well, these animals have almost like a sixth sense that they can perceive. They can see things that we cannot see. Science has proven this. And you know, I'll have my naysayers on the show saying, oh, Tom, you're believing science now. A lot of times you don't believe science. I don't believe science when it's just essentially guessing. Okay? When you're talking about what happened in the past, carbon dating, you're guessing. When you're talking about what will happen in the future, you're guessing. When you're talking about physics and space, you're guessing. However, when you are dissecting deceased animals and you find that these animals can see in another realm that we can't, essentially, that's not guessing. That's actual proof. In this instance, I will take science at its word because it's factual, it's provable, and I believe it. So for all my naysayers out there, yeah, I'm gonna take science at its face value right now because they have proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that that is possible, that animals, mammals can see, other than humans, of course, can see in another spectrum. So when your pet is sitting there and all of a sudden it just, boop, hey, what's that? It's not a squirrel. It's not a bird. It's seeing something or feeling something because they have an intuition, trust me. They have a feeling that something's going on that we don't have. So for those of you who have pets, listen, look at what your pets are doing. They may be telling you something, that something's amiss in this house. You know, again, I have two dogs, five cats, and lately I've been having some very, very, very strange things happening in my house. And I've noticed my cats, all five of them, they are looking and they'll just stare off in the distance. And I'm like, what are you looking at? And they're just fixated on something in the corner of a room, or they'll watch something which I would think is walking by. I've had some strange things happen in my house recently. I was in my bathroom brushing my teeth, and all of a sudden the shower curtain just poof, opened up on its own. I've had lights turn on and off. I swear I had somebody walk into my room that wasn't there. And this has all happened in the matter of the last month, and my pets are kind of going nuts. So I'm in tune to the fact that these pets, they are more coherent and more in tune to another spectrum, another realm, or whatever you want to call it, than I am. So keep an eye on your pets. But now, I am an absolute lover of cats. I love cats. I have had cats since I was a child. You know, there are dog people, there are cat people. I'm going to infuriate dog people here, but I'm a cat person. I think cats are regal. I think they're mystic. And I kind of like the fact that cats are like, hey, you're in my space. Leave me alone. Now, I came across an article about cats. And for all my cat lovers out there, you're going to really love this. Now, keep in mind, the aura of the cat is big. Now, that not only includes this cat, but also his or her family, home, and the territory that the cat is committed to. I have a cat who we named Bob. Bob was found on the side of a road in negative 17 degree weather as a kitten. And I'm not talking wind chill negative 17. I'm talking it was 17 below with a 50 below wind chill. And somebody dumped this cat on the side of the road while my wife was taking our kids to school. And my wife couldn't just let this cat freeze to death. So she stopped, picked it up, brought it home. This cat's awesome. I mean, honestly, this cat's awesome. It's a marble cat, and I think they call him a Bengal cat. And this cat will literally talk to you. And it did from day one. Well, this cat would come up on our bed and sleep between my wife and I on the pillows. And one night, I'm like, who crapped the bed? Well, unfortunately, what happened is because we found this kitten in 17 degree below zero weather, 3/4 of its tail had developed frostbite and it was dead. So we had to chop off 3/4 of his tail, and that's where Bob came into play. Looks like a bobcat. I mean, this is a bad mofo cat. This cat is muscular. This cat doesn't have a tail. And for those of us that know about cats, know that the tail is what helps the cat's balance. This cat has no qualms. I have been by this cat and had this cat jump in front of me to get a bug and literally jumped as high as I am, if not more. And I'm 6'1". This cat is amazing. We live right Our property at our house butts up to a farmer's field. So our neighbors are complaining to mice left and right. But my cat, Bob, he patrols our yard. Like, he is an absolute soldier. I have no problem with mice. I have no problem with moles. My neighbors have mole tunnels dug throughout their whole yards. Bob will sit in front of a mole hole and wait for that SOB to pop out and got it. He is amazing. So he has a territory. So we must understand that when a cat rubs against your legs, it's not only trying to tell you that, I'm hungry. Let's feed me here. We also need to know that it's sharing its quote-unquote magic with you. It's astral force. Now, the one that pushes the cat away at that moment is saying, leave me alone, get out. And it simply blocks that positive energy that the cat was trying to give you. The next time a cat rubs up against you and you push him away, that cat isn't going to come up and give you that positive energy. But if you have a cat that comes up and rubs on you, and it's a sign of affection, I understand that, but cats are mystical, I'm telling you. There's a reason that ancient Egypt worshipped cats. They knew something we don't. Cats are regal. They're majestic. They're mystic. They have energy that, purring. I was extremely sick a couple years ago, and I had the mama cat that started this whole cat fiasco I have at home. She came on my chest and started purring, and literally that purring I could feel through my whole body. And I swear to you, it made me feel better. The purring, that, scientists say that cats purr because they're content, they're happy, but they also do it to heal themselves. I truly believe that cat purring on my chest helped me get over the sickness and the pain that I was feeling. Now, different cats, there's tons of different cats out there. Different cats have quote-unquote different mystic powers. If you have a cat I'm going to list off a couple of types of cats and see if this matches your cat. If you have a black cat, that black cat is associated with witchcraft, occult powers, but also protection and deep magic. Now, despite all the superstitions, these cats of black color take negative energy and remove it from the trouble of households. They grant wisdom and discernment. In other words, if you have a house that is full of negative energy, this black cat essentially absorbs it and removes it from your house. If you have a red cat, this is the classic witch's moon cat. It is full of male power. It is full of the power of the sun. It is full of yang energy. Now, no matter the sex of the cat, the representation of this color and the magic it is associated with revolves around wealth, money, and focus. So the legend is, if you have a red cat, you're going to do well. What about if you have a white cat? Now, these white cats are, quote-unquote, sorcerers, and they create lunar magic. They have powerful healing powers. They give people a sense of beauty and admiration. They relieve stress. They give out healing and recharging energy. Now, in America, if you have a white cat, that's considered a good omen. What if you have a Siamese cat? Now, Siamese are kind of like the royal cat, the, you know, I have a Siamese. You know, it's kind of uppity. But if you have a Siamese, you have a cat that is going to bring fame and success, longevity, and they're going to help with solar magic and give you the yang energy. So if you have a Siamese cat, that's a good thing, I guess, right? Now, I myself, out of my five cats, I have two that are calicos. Now, keep in mind, calico cats are always female. You will never, ever, ever see a male calico cat. I have two absolutely beautiful, although they could probably lose a couple pounds, absolutely beautiful calico cats. Now, calico cats are the supreme goddess of the cat world. They have white colors, red colors, brown colors, black colors, gray colors. They're basically just a carpet. This color, these colors are associated with the triple goddess. Now, every calico cat, no matter what color they are, they're only going to have three. Brown, gray, black. White, gray, black. White, gray, brown. There's only going to be three. And these are associated with the triple goddess. If you have a calico cat, these cats are associated with good luck, and that is on land and sea. Back in the day when sea traveling was the way to do it, sailors used to bring calico cats on board for good luck. Now, in this day and age, if you have a calico cat, they are going to keep your home and family from harm, and they're going to generate happiness and prosperity. So if you have a calico cat, I should be reaping in happiness and prosperity, right? Because I have two. If you have a two-tone cat, black and white, orange and white, gray and white, I have two orange and kind of white cats. I have two two-tone cats. Now, according to legend, two-tone cats are the best mousers, and they're very friendly. I can attest, Bob is an incredible mouser. He is incredibly friendly until you pet him the wrong way, and then he bites you, and then things get sketchy. But they allow the energy of wisdom, understanding, and common sense. Two-tone cats, they're the purveyors of energy. They give you wisdom. I mean, listen, my Bob, my pug, we call him Pug because he was the last born. He was born when my mama cat, my calico mama cat, was giving birth on her first litter. He was the last one born. And my wife, and I don't think I could have ever have done this, but God help her and God bless her, she did. She pulled the pugs. We call them pugs. She pulled him out of Mocha, who is the mama cat, because she couldn't birth him. It makes me want to vomit. But his face was kind of smashed in at the time, and we called them pugs. Pugs is two-toned. Pugs was very, 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 very friendly until we went on vacation for a week, and he was gone a week after, and when he came back, he wasn't the same cat. He was very skittish. He was very scared, and he's that way to this day. But he's still very friendly. I can't say anything about his mousing skills because Bob, the other two-toned cat, literally takes all the mice, all the birds, all the squirrels, all the chipmunks. If it's alive, it's dead when it hits our yard because Bob is that type of hunter. So what kind of cat do you have? And if you have a cat, do you feel its energy? You know, my cats rub up on me all the time. And honestly, before I read this article, I'm like, whatever. Yeah, I love you too. But now that I read this article, I kind of feel it. I feel the energy flowing through me when a cat... I mean, can you feel bad when a cat rubs up against you? Honestly, can you? Unless you've got an interview and you're wearing nice dress pants and they rub up on you and leave all their hair on you, then you're a little bit upset. But other than that, can you feel bad that a cat is rubbing up against you? No, and it's releasing its energy. If you have a cat, if you have a dog, let me know what you think about dogs. Dogs are kind of, hey, how you doing, buddy? You're my best friend for life. You know, you leave and come back 5 seconds later and like, oh my gosh, you made it. You're back home. Oh my gosh, I love you. Dogs are incredibly loyal. Cats are incredibly fickle. Cats are like, leave me alone. I'm not in the mood for you right now. Dogs are always in the mood for you. And that's great. I love dogs too. Don't get me wrong. I love dogs. I have two dogs. Unfortunately, my dogs are completely stupid. You know, they have no qualms about standing in front of you, staring at you, begging for food. It doesn't matter how much you train them. They don't care. And it is what it is. I get it. But if you're a cat owner, let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Contact me about what type of cat you have. And let me know if these quote-unquote legends of what type of cat you have jive with the kind of cat you have. You know, if you have a two-tone cat, is it a mouser? If you have a calico cat, is it the supreme goddess of cats? Let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Now, I'm going to take a quick musical break. I'm not going to have any commercials. I just need to take a quick break and reset everything here. When we come back, I am going to have some pretty, I think, interesting news about where this show is going. So I will be right back. Take a quick break. Take a deep breath.
Something's staring us.
I'll be right back.
And it's bruising my mind. And there's nothing to hold it back. To hold it back. Don't know if it's a lack of love. We're feeling secure through the door of the show. No peace within. Oh.
I have got some exciting news for the podcast. Now, you may, if you follow the page on Facebook, and if you don't, what are you waiting for? Get on Facebook, go to the Paranormal Patriot and like the page, please, please, please. But if you follow the page on Facebook, I spend a lot of time commenting or liking or even sharing a podcast called Vanishing Gates. In my 4.5, almost 5 years of podcasting on this show, I've developed a lot of pretty good relationships with other podcasters. Now, Jay Miles is the host of a podcast called Vanishing Gates. Now, Vanishing Gates is a podcast, it's a video podcast, and that's totally out of the realm of what I'm comfortable with. But Jay Miles, who has interviewed people from the Travel Channel, ghost hunters, world-renowned ghost hunters, pretty much celebrities in the field of the paranormal, has contacted me and wants me to be a part of that show. He wants me to be a guest on the show. I couldn't say no. I mean, honestly, this is an opportunity. Jay has got a great show, and he's got great guests, and he's got a great audience. And Jay seems like a great guy. Honestly, him and I have been contacting each other back and forth, and he just sounds like a down-to-earth, great guy. And I would love to be on his show, to help promote his show, to help promote my show. But I've got to be on video. Now, the reason I haven't been on video is I don't think you guys want to see my ugly face. Honestly, I think my voice is enough, but you know what? The world of the paranormal and the world of podcasting is going toward video. And, you know, as reluctant as I am to get involved in that, I think it's about time. So I went and purchased a nice, expensive, more than my wife would have liked me to have spent, camera that I can stream podcasts on. So when I become a guest on Jay's show on Vanishing Gates, you're going to see my ugly face. And that will be, I don't know if it's probably not going to be this coming weekend because I'm going to be camping with the family, but it's probably going to be the next weekend. And I will promote it, and I will tell you when it's going to be on, and you can go from there. Watch it, love it, like it, tell Jay, hey, I love the Paranormal Patriot, keep them coming. But I spent a lot of money on this camera. So therefore, I have to justify the cost to my wife. We are now, on the Paranormal Patriot, going to have two options, an audio and a video format. If you want the audio format, bam, there it is. Keep it just like it used to be. If you want the video format, if I can figure out how to do it, I'm going to add videos, UFO videos, paranormal videos, any type of video you can think of if I can figure out how to do it, and it's going to be more like a news broadcast. So that is what's coming in the future. Let me know what you think. If I can convince my wife to not do a video podcast, that right there, hey, honey, sorry, my listeners don't want to see my ugly face. I'm sorry, I can't do a video podcast. If you want to, well, then it justifies the cost of the camera. So either way, it's a win-win for me. But contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net, and let me know what you think. Do you want a video podcast? Would you watch a video podcast? Or are you good with the audio? ghostseeker4@charter.net. All right, everybody. That'll be the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. To all my veterans out there, thank you. I salute you. You have given me and my family more than I could ever repay. Thank you. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week. I am out.
Self-destruct is what we do when we're together, me and you. We're so in love, but out of touch with all the damage we could do. What we had was beautiful until the moment it was through. But when all your love went astray, you just come to face the truth. I didn't want to be the one to say so. You didn't.